As a good storyteller will tell you, good stories have a beginning, a middle, and an end. Today, we have what is referred to as a cold open. We have action that has no introduction as to what we reveal. Further, we have no revelation without the frame of reference, the story text was. So let us step back. Way back in the beginning of our church year, this is the last Sunday of the season called Eastertide. Some call it Paschal time, yet others refer to this as the season of the great 50 days. For us, Easter is 50 days long. It's not just a day. It begins at sunset on Easter Eve, and lasts until the Holy Spirit descends upon the new church on the day that we call Pentecost. Easter is a festal season. It's a season of celebration for the birth and development of God's holy church. Historically, the season was a period of teaching and learning for the newly baptized Christians in the community. The readings selected for Eastertide follow this tradition. We are treated through history of our early church and an insight into who we are and what we are supposed to be. You've been here for the last few weeks of Eastertide. You've heard stories from the book of Acts that lead up to this profound, mysterious, marvelous story that we have in today's reading. The story actually began with an angel coming to Philip and instructing him to go by the wilderness road where he met an official of the Ethiopian court, servant of Queen Candace. The man, a eunuch, was sitting in his chariot reading from the book of Isaiah. Philip asked the man if he understood what he was reading, and in part the eunuch replied, "Not unless you instruct me. How can I without your help?" So Philip explained the meanings of the scripture that he was reading, and further spoke of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As the two continued along the road, they came to a body of water. The eunuch asked, "What would prevent him from being baptized?" Philip baptized the Ethiopian and was promptly taken by the Holy Spirit to continue preaching the gospel elsewhere. We are told that the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Think of this object lesson. This man sitting in a chariot was likely a double outcast from society. First, by being a dark-skinned stranger in a strange land, and secondly, because of his sexuality. Yet in this meeting, Philip taught him and welcomed him into the community of believers through the sacrament of baptism, a profound hospitality that is easy to overlook. This mission began with an angelic intervention and ended with the Holy Spirit overwhelmingly guiding both the giver of the good news, the Apostle Philip, and the recipient of the good news, the nameless Ethiopian. A second lesson during this period that we have talked about is about a Gentile named Cornelius, who was by all accounts a righteous man. He prayed, he gave money to the poor, and he was considered upstanding by all of his community. An angel came to this Gentile, Cornelius, and instructed him to send for a man called Simon Peter. So he did. While the emissaries were en route to find Simon Peter was so moved to go up to the roof of his building and pray. And in his prayer, he envisioned all kinds of food being offered to him. He was very hungry. It was noontime. This food was profane, according to upbringing and his culture, it was unclean. He had this vision three times, and a voice each time told him, Peter, eat this food. Peter didn't know what to make of this. He had no way, no final reference for himself. About this time, the emissaries made it to where Peter was. They told him that they were sent by Cornelius, and he had invited him to come and talk to him, his friends, and his household. Upon arriving at the centurion's house, Peter explained to him that it was unlawful for him to be there. He's a Jew associated with a Gentile, and to visit a Gentile is something that he should not do. Peter concluded that in his dream that he, Simon Peter, should not call anyone profane or unclean. This brings us to the story in Acts today. The Jewish members of this gathering were astounded by the lessons, and they were astounded by the Holy Spirit that were affecting them all. They were especially astounded that the Gentiles that were present were also affected by the Holy Spirit, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The acceptance of Gentiles in Peter's community by Baptists underscores full acceptance into the body of Christ. Are we to believe that the diverse assemblage of persons in Peter's community is what a church is supposed to look like? Are we to believe that people of different faith systems can come together, worship the newly risen Messiah, and find love for him, and in doing so, a newfound love for each other? Truly, this is a foretaste of the descent of the Holy Spirit in the church, something that we will celebrate here in a couple of weeks, and we'll call it Pentecost. Our reading from the Gospel of John is part of the section called the Upper Room Discourse. The timing of this discourse is critical. Jesus' ministry on earth is nearly over. It's Passover, holy time for Jews. Thus, a holy time for Jesus and his followers. Jesus came to teach his disciples. Other persons were not part of this. And the lessons, as I said, were for the disciples only. No longer was this a public ministry. This was the last time for Jesus to give the essence of his earthly ministry to his friends. Imagine what it must have been like. 3.5 years of preaching, 3.5 years of miracles, 3.5 years of signs, as John calls them. Here at the end of this time, the disciples are arguing about who gets to sit where on the table, whether they should sit at the left or on the right. Should the money that went for the nard that came that he was anointed with, should that have been given to the poor? And so forth. Jesus knows he is to be denied by Peter. He knows he is to be betrayed by Judas. In a few hours, Jesus would be on the cross. In less than 24 hours, Jesus would be dead. And the fate of the future church is in the hands of this quarrelsome, contentious group who, like us, seem to miss the point nearly every time. One last time, God on this message. The upper room discourse begins with Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. By example, he teaches us humility is where he began. He taught us, he taught his disciples, that he came on earth to serve and not to be served. Today's lesson illustrates several important changes in relationships. First, Jesus explains that his relationship with God the Father is very much like our relationship with him. we are told to abide in His love. We are told to dwell in His love. John further tells us that when we love God, we wind up loving the children of God. Obeying God's commandments then are not so burdensome. Loving one's neighbor becomes more of what we do and who we are as a community. Glory to God, His power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to Him from generation to generation in the church.